Well, I sure would appreciate your prayers. Might do something a little bit different today. And it's not because I'm trying to say I'm anything important or nothing like that, but I'd like to maybe share with you the way the Lord deals with me about scriptures and things like that. And I'm not sure why the Lord wants me to do it this way, but I feel like He does. So I'm going to share with you the way things come into my mind. And I want to start Matthew 9 and let's see, the 14th verse. I read this passage of scripture in devotion reading some while back, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and therein is made worse. Neither do men put wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and they both are preserved." So this is the way my mind works. I read that, and the thought comes, what does it mean? And my answer was, I don't know. And I've been doing this for a while, so I've heard it a lot of times and a lot of messages. And I tried to draw on that to my memory to say, where did I get any information about that? And I come up blank. I couldn't remember what I thought I knew about it. And so if I stop there, I get very little from it. I don't get it. And so I want to get something from it because this is what I believe. I believe that if me and you sat down and have a conversation today, you could probably go away and without much. But I don't believe the Lord spent His time doing that. I think that this is a very needful thing that He's saying. He's giving something here. And in my mind, it was like I'm going to use a rose, but it's like, and for some reason it's black and white, but in my mind it's like a bud, a rosebud. And I know there's something going to develop out of that that's really more than the bud. And it has, it's going to come out and it's going to be colorful. It's going to be red and it's going to be green and it's going to give you a different than what it appears just like that. I don't want to leave that just like that. It's not of understanding, but I'm going to see it. And what the Lord seemed to do in the day that He was in, He used the common things around them that they did have understanding, the carnal, the natural. He used that to represent the spiritual because there's no really way to do it spiritually other than that. And so He came and gave them the things that they did understand. They understood if you put corn in the ground, that you'd get corn when you got through. If you put two grains in, hopefully you're going to get four ears or more ears. It's going to be, and they understood some processes of natural things, and so He developed that. Now, us being out of the culture that they was in, I think a lot of times our vision can be somewhat black and white about it because I don't have the same understanding. If the Lord would come to me and give me analogies pertaining to growing up in West Virginia through the 60s and 70s and timbering and hunting and fishing and running the mountains, if He would give me illustrations of those kind of things, it would be a very vivid picture to me. I would understand deep details of it in an analogy. But I don't understand all the things that their marriages and stuff was a lot different than we do. I mean, the cultural idea was different, but the Lord dealt with them in that kind of way. And folks, in Scripture, context is really, really important. I'll give you an example. I can say to you that the Bible says, curse God and die. Well, it does. It does. I heard a guy recently was of another persuasion, and he says he's proving that once you get saved, you're always saved, and he uses the idea that everlasting life can't be everlasting life. And he said, my third great granddaughter knows that everlasting life has to be everlasting life, because if you don't have everlasting life, after you have everlasting life, you don't have everlasting life. And I said, well, that's true. But it isn't true that that's what the Scripture said. The Scripture said, he that believeth in me will have everlasting life. And now the question has to be whether you cannot believe in him. Can you believe in him and then not believe in him? Of course you can. So the whole thing, and I want to state this as an aside, almost everything stated in the Bible was by covenant. The Lord gave Joshua, for instance, a very strong idea. Be strong, he said. Be strong and courageous. And you go and I'll be with you. It wasn't very long, the Lord wasn't with him. So, of course, why? He said, if you'll do the things that I told Moses, and you'll keep the commandments, I will be with you. You didn't say, well, the Lord said he's going to be with us, so he's always going to be with us. He did say he's always going to be with us. If you will follow me, I will be with you. Right? I mean, so context matters. There is a scripture, for example, that says that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man. So I'm not the merchant man. If I'm in that scripture, it's not a merchant man. But the scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man that goes and seeks and finds a goodly pearl. Then maybe I'm the pearl. Maybe that scripture is really saying, I mean, we can use it without too much thought, but maybe that scripture is really telling the story of Jesus' love and sacrifice and value to us. A soul. Well, it seems much more in context to that, because I'm not the merchant man. It said that the kingdom of heaven is like the merchant man, and he goes and does so. He finds a pearl. So it's very valuable to get this in this kind of way. So this scripture starts out, I'm telling you the processes, for some reason, of the way my mind works with scripture. So this scripture says, then came to him the disciples of John. You know, that's very important that he said in this context, the disciples of John. Because the Lord's going to talk to the disciples of John. And it's important that he does in this passage. So it's very important that we understand who he's talking to. Now, who was these people? These was people that John had came and ministered to, and they were disciples of John. And so that means they moved a certain category. I'm assuming they were Jews. They were disciples of John. They had a total culture and way of life. That was the law. And they was... If you lose that, you lose what the Lord's going to say to us here about this passage of Scripture. He said that the disciples of John come. And they had, I have to assume that not everybody in the Scripture was asking perversive questions. So these were sincere people. I think he come and said to him, disciples of John, be baptized into John. Baptized. They probably had been those ways and learned some of the stuff. But they hadn't went all the way. They had a question that was serious to them. Why are we and the Pharisees? It seems like for the representation of God and to show the world and to represent God, that your disciples need to be fasting. This is deep in me. We was taught by the time we was little that there's days of fasting and there's things, times that you should be important about things and all that. So we want to start by saying, the way my mind works is I have to ask, what do I know about fasting? Well, I mean, because that's important in this. Right? Well, I fasted before. Why did it do it? It's not really, there's no specific command that I have to do it today. And it isn't putting away sin. It's putting away what I need, a natural. But it's a suggestion, I believe, to me. My mind went to, 58 of Isaiah. But I was thinking about, well, when I fast, what am I doing? I'm suggesting to God that this thing that I want, this desire, this burden is more important than my natural life, my natural, taking care of the natural thing. This is very important to me. Something that is really important. And I want you to be paying attention to me. I want to get the heart of the Lord. I want the Lord's attention. Lord, how can we do that? I remember, it was in June because I was working on the old tabernacle, but you remember when Brother Stanley Dixon's wife Eileen was down in bed, there was a call for a fast, 3-day fast, and was going to labor. I don't know how many of you remembered. It ain't the only time, but that one was monument in my mind. I was young in the Lord, and I fasted and about killed myself, actually. I was working so hard in the tabernacle, removing the old sawdust and doing all that and hadn't eaten. I hadn't drank, and I don't know nothing about fasting. I just know this is important, and I wanted the Lord to do this. And I gave myself to it, right? They wanted to know why that they didn't fast. So he's going to give them a couple answers here to clarify. I think they knew more about it than I do. I think it registered to them what he said. This is what he said. He starts off and says, can the children of the bride chamber, well, this is important to know. What are you talking about? I don't use that language. What's the children, what children of what bride? What? Well, if you look into the idea about it, and they was very festive about their weddings, and they would last, I think for sometimes a month, but they would last at least for a week, and it was, a wedding was like for a week. I mean, they had all this festive stuff and all that, and they also had these people that was associated with the groom, the best way I can understand it, the bridegroom, and they was friends of his and all that, and then there come a time to where he goes and actually it's come to the point that he gets the bride, and now they're going to take off for that, and now they separate. There's a time when these people, the friends of the bridegroom, they're going to separate. At that point, they're festive, they're doing everything about that, but at this point then, the festives went in to a mourning. Because there's a change of life, and now I don't get to have that relationship with my friend the same way, and the parents of the bride is weeping, and the bridegroom's friends the groom's weeping, and that's a cultural thing that he's dealing with them about to get them to understand that his disciples don't have anything to fast about. We have needs of to fast for things and to get there. And so all of a sudden there's a different dynamic, and he's trying to teach them the idea that, and he's developing the blossom of, if you will, and the picture's starting to come out, and there's some understanding to get to come out. I can see it now what he's trying to refer to them and trying to say to them. He says, the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away, as is in the feast, in the festivals, and then he'll fast. And then he goes into this, and what does this have to do with anything? I mean, I understand the logics of this, but what's he saying to them? He says, no man can put a piece of cloth into the old garment. What are you fasting about? I just want us to think about this a little bit. What would disciples of John be fasting about? I'm talking about devout people, Jews, the Pharisees, sincere, let's assume some sincerity here with people and say, what would they sincerely be fasting about? Could it be possible, you think it was possible that everybody, that some of the old Jews said, you know, We used to hold the commandments of the Lord and used to be kosher in everything we did. And now our young people are just not being kosher. And it burdens my heart to see the change that's happening. Is it possible that they could have fasted for that? Is it possible that they could have been fasting for the leaders, for their leaders, and saying there's too much corruption? I'm suggesting that people can be sincere, and they could have looked and said they're exacting and charging money, and the temple's becoming a place of merchandise. And is it possible that people could have said, let's fast for that? Would it not be legitimate at that time for a Jew to be fasting for that? For the cause of God? Sure it would. It would have been more than possible for that. Jesus is answering their question about this and about their fastings and all that. And this is the way he answers it. There's something else going to happen. Going to change something here. We're not fasting for the same. You're not. This is a whole different. What he's talking about is a different system's going to come in. Something else is going to come into this. It's going to be so different than this. And so he answers it to this, to them. What are you going to do? You see this and it's got errors in it or problems in it. You're fasting for one thing or for the other. Or it was common, I think, among the Jews to have a whole bunch of different fasts. They were very superstitious about stuff, and they fasted for the needs and all these kind of things. And Jesus is going to answer about these questions to them by saying, you see the rent, but it can't be patched. It's not going to be patched. I'm not just going to cover it up. Something's developing in my mind because I'm saying, is that not true for me in my life? Is it not true from the old life? And is it possible to say, tell people that they need to, we'll get some motivation speakers and get people, no, that's like putting a patch on. Or let's cut, like a New Year's resolution, or I got a determination about this. No, you don't put a patch on there. And it, to me, it indicates the patch, this patch, this cloth that was put on there. It didn't rend. It didn't rend. No, the old would rend. And it's not going to work. And if you try to incorporate this new with the old, if you try to do it, you ask a legitimate question of your fastings and your devotion. But what God comes in there is going to, if you try to incorporate these two systems, it's going to rip yours completely apart. It is never going to be able to work. But it ain't going to run the cloth. The new's going to hold because it's strong and it's new, it's valid. But the old, it won't tie into it. It won't work in the same capacity. And so he's telling them here, here's an answer to this. Jesus did not destroy the law. He fulfilled it. And all the errors and all the things that have been incorporated in it, you can't patch that up. Do you not think that was probably, just thinking of humanity, exactly what they wanted to do? Don't you think that if I was born thinking that I shouldn't eat pork, then my children should never eat it either, and it should hold forever and all that, and wouldn't it be natural for them to hold on to the things when the gospel come and for the very types and chat? Do you think that's easy to just give up? Do you think it's easy for somebody to come up with my culture and all of a sudden the gospel crosses that cultural line and it needs, you think it's easy to just say, okay? No, but the Lord was saying, I want to tell you, you can't patch that up. This new thing I got, it ain't going to patch it. You can't keep the old. You can't keep it. And so he goes to the next stage into this, and this is a beautiful picture to me. But he says in the next stage, and no man puts new wine into an old bottle. And I, I'll be honest with you, I never really thought too much about it. I know that's true. And I understand the concept of it because I've fooled in the, if you will, the chemistry of those kind of things and know what that fruit juice is going to start doing. And it's going to start building up some pressure. And I won't liken it exactly to this, but it is somewhat like it. But I love the garden and I try to make my own natural fertilizer. So I've got these big barrels the boys got me with lids on them and all. And there's a process of composting. It's a liquidified compost and you can feed your plants with this after a while, but you just put anything in there that's got a nitrogen base, you know, chicken. You know, there's a lot of chicken litter in there. Got a lot of fresh grass clippings and things from the kitchens in there, and there's some rabbit dung of this and that and in there, and there's all kind of good composting things in a big barrel of water stuff in there. Well, the idea is that you should just crack. I don't know exactly the terms, but there's different terms of composting, and this one happens to be a no oxygen one. Takes longer, but it has a certain breakdown ability. And this stuff is full of bacteria and funguses and stuff that eats on the stuff to break it down, and it eliminates gases. I don't know, it's methane, probably some. I mean, there's different releases of the gases in there. And one day I look out there, and the idea is to crack the lid a little bit. And I didn't crack the lid a little bit. And I looked out there on a real hot summer day, and that the big black barrel had expanded itself considerably. It was just round, and the lid that's flat wasn't flat. It was hooved, and the band that holds it was strained, and it was all this. And I thought, and I don't know why I think did what it did, but I thought, well, I don't want to run that barrel. That barrel might split. It's getting so much, and I better give it some release. Well, I never even thought about just loosening the cap, so I just reached over and pulled the band, and it was a bad idea. And it blew, I mean, I wouldn't say it was quite the loudest of shotgun, but it blew, and the lid blew way off. Of course, I'm right there close, and it wasn't that bad for me right there, but the point is that there was a lot of pressure building in there, and what was causing the pressure was the life. Like I say, it's not a great analogy, but if you'll give me the liberty, I'm saying the crossover. But the idea is the same thing in that new wine. The new wine is very, very active. It's alive. It's moving. It's going to produce. If it wasn't, it wouldn't hurt no bag. But it is. It needs something strong enough to contain it. And he's saying about, and it's a beautiful picture to me because, folks, the gospel is that way. And it's saying to them, you got this old system. I'm going to bring a new one. And you're worried about the fasting and stuff and the things that you care about and the important things that you're seeking God for. But they're not relative in the new kingdom. They're not relative. And this is alive, and it's alive more than that. You're going to change something. Fundamentally change something about this, and the gospel is going to come, and it's going to be salvation. And they didn't understand this altogether. But for a Jew, the encroachment of the Gentiles was horrible. Wasn't it? Wasn't being under Roman rule a thorn to their freedom? To what God was to give them? What the promise of God was for them? No, do you think that any of the Jews ever fasted for the freedom of Israel? Under the Roman Empire? For sure they did. I would say most, but the Lord looking and saying about your ideas about what's important in fasting, let me tell you something else. There's something new coming into this. Going to be altogether different. You'll be fasting, alright. My disciples will be fasting, but they ain't going to be fasting for the freedom of Israel in that way. They're not going to be fasting for the Sanhedrin to straighten up. They're not going to be fasting. They're going to be fasting for the will of God and for salvation of souls. They're going to be fasting for the real freedom. And now, to me, in this passage, it's not black and white anymore. And the flower is not in a bud. It's flowering out. And I can see some importance in this because what the Lord is saying, if you want the fullness of the gospel, And what I'm bringing for you, you can't incorporate it into your sinful life. The gospel will tear it out. It won't hold. You can't hold it that way. And for those that even, why would you even want to? Why would you even want to keep the old? Well, the idea of, well, we're just a bunch of sinners. Well, Lord help us. Is that all? Is that all that he intended to do? No, it wasn't all that he intended to do. Or I recognize, and it's so much of the religious world, we recognize that we need something. We recognize the need of God in things. We recognize those kind of things. And I look many times, I'm supportive of every time the Lord's name's called and those kind of things. But so often it just is almost cringeworthy to look and see somebody that says, we need God in our life, then turn around and curse the people around them. Or use, I'm saying, Jesus said, you'll put the new wine into the old bottle. You just can't do it. So I kind of looked at this passage of scripture and kind of thinking about what's my real desires? What do I really care about and want to see accomplished? And do I really still want to see the salvation of people? Do I still believe that a person can come weighted down in sins, maybe habits, maybe smoking and drinking and drug habits and maybe all that. Do I still believe that there's a work for them? Do I still believe that there's that new wine? It's a whole different system. There's something different about it all. I assume that the Jews, most of them probably did not accept the idea of the Gentiles coming in. You remember the deal with Cornelius and Peter, and Peter couldn't accept the idea of it, and it was you know how those things are. They're bitter. They're deep. They're bitter and deep, and it's hard to do that. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes by and has to be forceful, expressive about this. It's a different system. Who's the Jew? You heard this argument lately? I had somebody recently come up to me almost running. They hadn't seen me in a long time and said, I just got to know. They got involved in this. I just got to know. Are we obligated an oath or an obligation? Are we obligated to the nation of Israel? I said, do you know who the Jews are? There's a new Jew. This is too plain in the scripture for me. I said, no. By faith, we're Jews. By faith, it's a different, he came to bring, now listen, I'm not talking politically anything. I'm just talking plain scripturally here. I don't have any obligations to any kingdom. Except for God's kingdom. We are not Jews outwardly. It was made plain we're not Jews outwardly. But we're Jews inwardly. We are children, and I could prove it, of Abraham. We're children of Abraham because he was the father of faith. Now Jesus is saying to these people here, you can't put this new system into that old one. It will not work in it. It will rend it to pieces. It will blow it up. It will do it. You can't do it. You'll be confused. And folks, listen. It's as true today as it ever is in the religious thing. You never get the full picture and the flower and the beauty of the gospel if you're mixing it around with stuff. It just isn't the same thing. You try to take, I want, as one of the scriptures said, they feared the Lord, but they worshiped their own gods. What? You fear the Lord, but you worship your own God? I fear the Lord. I want to go to church every Sunday, but I want to live like I want to live the rest of the time. You can't put the patch on there. But don't think you're going to destroy the gospel with it. You won't destroy the gossip.
You'll destroy your own mind and soul with it. You'll be warped by the way you think about things and how you look at things. You won't have a clear vision about that. It's not the gospel you'll destroy. It'll be your own self that you destroy. And how many take that on? And the idea that I got from this for me, I'm going to tell you after the whole long process of me telling you the way my mind works. I said, it sounds to me like the Lord wants us to do it all the way. Sounds to me like the Lord wants us to take the whole thing. Sounds to me like the whole system that the Lord wants us to embrace is not going to mix in with my carnal thinking. It's not going to work out in the way man does things. It sounds to me like the Lord doesn't want us to mix the things that he wants to do with our own passions and desires. No man, he said, no man. That sounded to me like that he was telling them something that they understood. What strong language that he would say. And as again, Jesus didn't speak like we speak. The scripture says he didn't speak like other men speak. But he had power and authority in his words. I think people listened to what he said because there was power and authority in it. And this is what he said. No man, really? No man would? That's right. No man would. Nobody that understood anything would do it. You wouldn't even attempt it because it's too ridiculous to do. No man would take fresh wine and put it in the old bottle. Nobody would do it because they know what would happen. It wouldn't work. So the suggesting to the disciples of John, who he was talking, something else is coming. I've got something else coming. And it is not to be mixed with the old way. Let the old way go and accept the new. The new needs to be put in. And I'm minded of a scripture that's just kind of vague in my mind, but there was a scripture that talked about the bag with the hole in it and how the Lord, that always fascinated me was that there needs to be a bag. He talked about something that needed to contain something. There's no fault in the Lord. There's just a fault in us containers. And sometimes we allow the Spirit of the Lord to drain out of us because we won't take it totally, because we don't want it totally. I don't want to follow it totally. I want my own way in it. I want to do what I want to do. There's a hole in my bag that keeps me from receiving, a hole in the vessel that keeps me from receiving and retaining, to retain what the Lord wants me to have. I need to be the vessel. Lord, help me to be the vessel. I'm not the new wine in this. But maybe I'm the vessel that's the hole. Maybe I'm the bag that's the hole. That you don't put that into an old bag. It won't go. But you put it in a new one. A new creation. Lord, help me to be that container that the Lord can work with and that can contain the things that the Lord wants to do. That's willing to say yes to the Lord. Yes to the Lord. Let my fasting be a different fasting. And so I'm on fast and my neighbors act right and won't treat me bad. No, Lord, help me to fast that I don't treat them bad. I want to get a new fasting here. Lord, they're acting up and all that. I'm going to pray that I'm going to fast and pray till the cops come and drag them off. And I'm fast and pray till the Lord gets hold of them. I'm going to have a different fast about you. I don't think the way you did. You know, it's a whole different thing. I'm not going to fast for this, that the Romans somehow act right. I'm going to pray that I got grace in the middle of the way the Romans act. I'm going to fast and pray that the Lord will help me in this, that I can hold the new wine in my own life. There's life and there's activity in there, and the Lord wants to work. And you know what? It seems to me like maybe this is a misunderstanding, but it sure seems to me like that the idea that you go and get saved and give your life to the Lord, and from there on the road is smooth. You don't have to worry about no pressure building up once you give your heart to the Lord. You give your heart to the Lord, and the Lord will take care of you. You don't have to have no pressures on you. Well, who preaches that? Who has ever lived such a thing? It seems to me like that you get the Lord. The Lord promises the power and the overcoming victory for the pressures. But I'm going to tell you, there's some pressures built up, isn't there? It'll bring the pressures. Lord, help me to be the container. Be able to contain those kind of things that the Lord wants to do in our lives. I don't imagine, me and brother, one of the brothers talking the other day, but, maybe it was Brother Tony, but, do you all ever, think about AI any? Do you even understand it? In the technology world, in my lifetime, from the time they first come out with the first word processing computers that had a few small images on it, they've been able to create... Actually, I remember a minister's meeting years ago just to tell you how us humans can do, and some here might remember it. But I remember a minister's meeting years ago where... forgive me, Brother Ed, to mention you, but you was in there. Because Brother Ed had given a little exhortation, this was years ago, about what was possible in technology in the next few years. And one of the things he said was saying that the people that do these kind of things was saying that it was going to be possible for you to download videos and actually watch them. Now, I don't know if Brother Ed remembers this, but he gave that little thing in there. Of course, there was people that were skeptical, and one person in particular said, never will happen. Because the amount of, this is what he said, because the amount of data that it takes to do it is not attainable. Well, where did that go? And in my life, there's a thousand-fold evolution of technology that has led us to the point that there's what they're called artificial intelligence. Computer programs that's able to build on knowledge. But it's able to actually increase itself and build on it. It's called artificial intelligence. And it is not God. But it's pretty fascinating. Where is that going to go? Nobody's going to answer it. We don't know. But if the evolution stays at its common right speed, it could be right scary. Folks, you can't mix these two. It's going to, in many ways, take the place for a lot of people of what God is. It's going to encroach in upon a lot of it. And we're going to need that active, living, not artificial. It will never be God. But it's going to be placed in there to answer a lot of questions. Can you anybody ever use it and say, hey, can you give me an answer to this? We don't doubt it because it works out to be true. I mean, I can go ask it. Hey, what about this? And it'll say it, and I can look it up, and it's true. It's what it's saying. It's true. We're going to need something inside us that works and lives, that somebody says, is God real? You're going to have to be able to say, yes, he's real, because he's worked in me. And this is what he's done to them. And what he's always tried to do, and I think what he's answered, the way he answered John's disciples the way he did, you're going to have to let go of everything else to have this. You're going to have to get rid of all of the things else. Nothing else is going to fit into it. And I wouldn't exactly call this the old, but I'm going to tell you this. You ain't going to be able to incorporate God into it, all of the rest of this other thing, and come out with a pure product on it. He's going to say, you're going to have to get rid of the old. You're going to have to get rid of the man's ways. You're going to have to do all of those things if you're really going to have it and see the truth. Because I see in my own life, there is it doesn't take much to influence my mind towards things. And even more than that, it doesn't take much to influence my feelings towards things. And when my feelings goes toward things, then thus goes my mind. If I want
to think something, or it was important to do it. I have to be careful that I don't find, well, I don't call myself overly intelligent, but I'm intelligent enough to make an argument for what I want. I'm that smart. I'm smart enough to go and find all of the things that's to my favor and dismiss everything that's not for a very valid reason. I remember one time the Lord dealt with me, but I just to prove the point, I had been out on a job that was a very tight job, and the boss had said that it was a very tight job, and we went out on the job that day, and things just didn't go well, and we didn't get right at the job, and there was some things happened that caused us to waste time, and after a while, I didn't feel good about it and knew that I had not done what I should have done, and that was weighing on me because of it. And the next morning, the boss looks at what we had done the day before, and with all the men there, he said, "What's this?" And I just amazed myself at how well I told him about that day without telling him what happened, and how well I distorted everything that was there and done, and turned around to, and I know the guys was there like, and turned around to walk off, and the Lord said, "Are you going to go back home like that?" And I hadn't took but a few steps before I said, I already had pictured the ride home that day. And I turned back around and come and told the boss without any kind of flattering, no kind of flattered up, nothing. I just come and said, "This is the truth. We fooled around yesterday and did not do what we were supposed to do. And I said, I'm sorry that we did that." That's the truth. And the guy's mouth, they was like, "I can't believe he said that." I went home better. I went home and said, "Lord, help me to do it right." And I did not lose respect from the boss. The boss ended up saying, "Thank you. We can get this right. We need the Lord to help us in life, and you're going to have to get rid of all that other stuff. It's a new system. You can't distort. It's a different system. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do these other things that in here, in here, in here. You have heard," Jesus said, "you have heard to hate your enemy." Got a different system. It's a different system. An eye for an eye. Different system. You got a different system. Well, I like holding on to that one. I mean, it makes sense. There's some justice or there's something in that. Nope. This is a different system. You can't maintain, folks, you cannot maintain a soft, gentle, sweet spirit if you've got that spirit.
That's right.
Jesus brought something different. And it's not the gospel that's going to be destroyed. It's going to be the bag. It will not be the gospel. You're not going to tear it up. And the things that he brought to say, this is who we are. And when he said to them about, if somebody compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. And he said, this is what I want you to do. No more distorting the words. No more changing the thing around. I'm watching this. This is important to you. And I said, I don't want to do that. I like this story, but a guy told me one time, very religious fella, he told me, he said that there was a local guy there. He said he's been stealing my gas. This was a Sunday school teacher and elder. He said, "That young guy's been coming down here and stealing the gas out of my car. I don't think that young man should have been stealing the gas out of his car. I think it's wrong. It's evil. It's wrong." But he was coming down there at nights and stealing the gas out of his tent. And this guy told me, he said, "I set up last night with my shotgun." And I said, "I'll tell you what, I'd have let him have it if he'd have come down there for gas last night." And I'm sitting there thinking, if a man compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. If he takes your coat, give him your cloak. If he steals your gas, shoot him. You folks, you cannot fit the patch on the bottle or on the garment. You can't, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And what he said to the disciples here, it's not going to work. My disciples will pray different prayers and fast different fasts than your fasting. When the bridegroom leaves, there's going to be a different fast altogether than that. There's a different idea altogether. And so we come in with our own notions. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, I hope you know what I'm talking about, because I face these kind of things a lot of times to where somebody says, yeah, but it's not the way I was raised. Folks, I was raised, and I thought it was the best way in this world to be raised. My daddy taught me that you do not start a quarrel or a fight with anybody. It's not wise. And he said, you get out of a fight in any way you can. But if you have to fight, you take it to them. And you keep yourself till you're able to take it to them too. And I thought that was the best advice ever. I lived my life that way. And then I started reading the scriptures and trying to say, how can I fit that in? But Jesus didn't use those words like that. So one day, guy is angry enough to me to pull a gun out and stick it to my head. And his knuckles was white from gripping the trigger and his teeth was clenching and he's saying, I'm going to kill you. I could have shot him first. I had a gun in my car from what I was doing. It wasn't to shoot people with. And I saw him doing it and I could have shot him first. But it just doesn't fit the new narrative. And if you're going to tell me that I can, in that kind of situation, love somebody and value their soul and kill them, I'm going to have to argue with you. I can't keep my spirit that way. I can't do it. And I can't, there's no way that I could fit that in to the new. And he said, I'm going to bring a new to you. And the new seemed to suggest to my thinking that there's something more valuable than this life. There is something more valuable than how many years I get here. Something much more valuable than that he brought. Enough to say that if you save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, different idea. I'm going to bring something totally new, but it's dynamic and it's alive and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And I'll say this, I can say it from my heart. I don't know me altogether. I know I don't. I don't know what I'm capable of or not capable of. But I can tell you what I've seen. I was talking with Brother Tony the other day about this. I tell you what I've seen. I've seen the beautiful side of trust in the Lord. I mean, really beautiful. I've seen it to the point that I said to the Lord, I'll go that way if you'll let me. And that's what I would desire for. I don't know. I'm not big enough to say who I am or what all is going to happen in my life, but I'll tell you what, that I can say positively, I think it's beautiful to simply trust God. My grandmother, I saw her come down her life without struggling. She was in pain, but she wasn't struggling. In pain, and say, lift her hand and say, Marty, I'm tired. I want to go home, be with Jesus. I saw the beautiful side of a person that had given themselves to the Lord. And I say, it's part of the new. It's part of the new. And we can trust the Lord in it. I'm not at all in any mind condemning anything. I don't believe in it. I just don't believe in it. Brother Ivins, give my religion. I don't believe in condemning anything but sin and evil. I don't believe in condemning that in it. But I'll say this, I saw the beauty. And I'd hate to lose it because it's so beautiful. It's a rose that's bloomed out. That we have a heavenly Father that works in our lives and works and does for us. All that he's done, he's made point to Linda and I talk about it at all. We'd have to write a pretty good sized book to tell you all the things the Lord has did and been faithful to us in it. It's just as beautiful. And I'm not saying the Lord won't lead people in any way he wants to do it. Thank the Lord for it. But I want to see the beauty and the life in it. I believe the wine that was put in the bottle was active. Yeah. and it was alive. And it's going to build some pressure, sure, but it's beautiful and it's right. And now my picture isn't a gray picture, a black and white picture of a rosebud not developed. It's a full picture of full color, and it's blossomed out, and it's the gospel. And the gospel of the Lord is worth living for. And in all of it, I want life. That's what Brother Ivan said the other day. I don't want the phony. I want the life. I want the reality of it. I want to see it for real. Religion is religion. I told somebody, they made the argument one day to me, said about religion. They said, I think religion causes a lot of trouble. And I said, boy, did you say that right? I said, I am a opponent to religion. I said that in this world, religion causes more trouble than anything else. But I'm a proponent of the gospel. I'm a proponent of Jesus Christ. Because it isn't just religion. It's a way from death to life. It's a way of something new and better. And you know, that's what it's what we preach is that, and thank God for it. You can start today new. You can start, isn't that what the essence of what he was trying to say? I'm going to bring something new. I'm going to bring something totally new, all the way new. You don't keep the old. You get rid of it. Get rid of it. This is dynamic. It's new. Can I really be happy if I don't hold on to these things of my life? Can I come to the Lord in the need of my soul and give myself to this cause and not hang on to these other things that I hung on to try to get through life with? You mean I can't take a drink every once in a while? You don't need a drink every once in a while. Well, I've got this smoking relaxes. You don't need a smoking anymore. You don't need that anymore. Well, what about if my friends run off? Look, I mean, listen, I got friends. it really expands. Come to the meeting and here's all my friends. And the Lord said about serving Him that you'd have a hundredfold in this life and life eternal. Brothers and sisters, brothers and houses and lands, and do all these things. And I've traveled the country and I've stayed in homes and I've stayed across the country in different places. And I don't have to take the garbage out. If it's overflowing. But I mean, I don't have to take the job. I don't have to mow their yard. I don't pay the taxes. I go and they feed me and this. And I say, well, boy, if anyone's got a hundred. It's been me. What a blessed life we have to have true, deep friends. People you can count on. This is real and it's rich and it's alive. And he was trying to insinuate, got something so much. If you're willing to let loose of the old. Oh, I know it was hard for them old Jews to do it. It would be hard for anybody to have done what they understood all the time. But I think about Nicodemus and how he come there, third chapter of John, you remember the scripture, and how he was so pressured he didn't even want people seeing him at the Lord. Surely he was pressured with the, who am I and what do I do and how can I let go of these kind of things? It's hard to let go of those kind of things. But he said, no man doeth these miracles unless the Lord be with him. And he had an understanding there about it. And Jesus told him something totally new. How can this be? You must be born again. You must be, what? How's it possible? What are you referring to? Oh, this is new. This is totally, totally new. I give unto you a new commandment. Not just love one another. That was an old one. Love people is an old one. But love the way I've loved you. Oh, that's sacrificial. That's different. But folks, can't you see the beauty? The blossoming? Can't you see the beauty of that to say, can we live that way? Can I live without these things that I have habited and made in my life? You don't need that old corrupt stuff. You don't need that old worldly sinful music. You don't need that old stuff. And so how can I get through the day without my music? How can I get through this? You don't need that anymore. You don't need it. Don't try to put the patch on the old bag. Get rid of the old bag, and the Lord's got something special for us all. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.